You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I hope everybody's keeping well and you're all having a good week so far. Like I say, at the top of the hour every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, we're halfway through the week, nearly at the weekend, so that's always a good sign. Now, whenever Kerry are in a football final, we all know how proud we are. And Kerry actress Jessie Buckley will be attending this year's Oscars on March 15th with a Best Actress nomination for her role in Hamnet. Here at Radio Kerry, we want her to know just how proud we all are of her, and we are planning a Jessie Buckley weekend to mark the occasion. Join us in wishing her every success. Radio Kerry, in conjunction with the National Territory Office and partners MTU and Kerry College, are going to give you the chance to showcase your creativity. We are offering a €1,000 prize for the most creative good luck wish to Jessie Buckley. That can be an audio, a video, a song, a banner, a TikTok, pictures, some art, or whatever you want. And we will share it all on Radio Kerry. Send us details to jessie@radiokerry.ie before the 11th of March. And let's all wish a Kerry girl every success on the global stage on Oscars night. The competition is open to individuals, schools and organisations. Let's show the world just how creative people in the southwest of Ireland are and let Jessie know we are all rooting for her and proud of her. Stay tuned for more details. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Nicole Lonergan. Nicole is an award-winning musician, her main instrument being the violin, especially the electric violin. She's played with the renowned Black Rock and Beats as well as doing a lot of solo gigs as well herself. She's living here in Killarney and she plays a lot in the Plaza Hotel as well as down in the race course in the summer. She's always outside there getting the crowd going and she brings great vibes to wherever she does play. She does a lot of solo ones as well, I suppose, for different companies around the country, especially up in Dublin, that she'll talk to us about in the interview. And on top of that, she's a member of the all-female supergroup Bird. They spell their band B-I-I-R-D to resemble, I suppose, the 11 members. They've played some massive gigs recently, completing a European arena tour supporting Ed Sheeran. So that's including performances in Dublin's Tree Arena, just to name a few. So sit back and enjoy the show. Nicole, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm delighted to have you in studio. How are you keeping?
Good. Thanks a million for having me. We were a long time trying to make this work, but at least we got a date on our calendar that suited the both of us now. So thanks so much for having me.
Exactly.
All is good with me. Yeah, sure. Busy out, tipping away.
We were just saying there, the year is absolutely flying, isn't it?
Oh, it's actually hard to believe. As we were saying, January was a bit slow and steady, and now it's
February
hard to believe.
Flies.
March is on its way again.
Petty's Day around the corner.
I know, sure, that's it then for the rest of the year. It'll all fly through.
I want to, I suppose, at the start, I like to ask my guests, I suppose, about growing up and what was young Nicole like? Was music always kind of a part of your life, or did you play sports, or what was it like growing up?
If it's a sport conversation you want to have, you're with the wrong person. There wasn't really any sport in my family. I'm from Waterford, just out between Dungarvan and Clonmel, and music was definitely the upbringing that I had. My grandmother was a fiddle player. My mum was a dancer. I believe I have grand aunts that have played concertina and danced. And so it was steeped in my family. And my sister is older than me, and she started learning the fiddle from my grandmother and going to music lessons. And I believe I was brought to the lessons. And when Danielle finished her lesson, they'd sit me up on the teacher's lap with a little fiddle when I was 3 years old, I believe, was the first time there was a fiddle in my hand. So that's where that started, and yeah, we've a deep culture in our family and loads of music and dancing. We were going to scores, flas, raidoris, going to all sorts growing up. So yeah, I don't ever remember there being a time that there wasn't music or dancing in my family.
Do you think that the flagyol, it's after getting more popular lately?
It is, and you have the Willie Clancy Week and all of the festivals. They've definitely gotten more popular, which is a good and a bad thing. It's definitely changed the way the festivals were for us growing up. You know, years ago you could kind of go into any pub and play a session of music. It's a little more commercial now, which it's brilliant to see trad music and Irish music and our culture in general reaching a wider audience. But I suppose for the ones who we saw growing up, we saw it at kind of a different light. It's definitely much bigger now, so you don't have the same small circle that you had in it, which is a good and a bad thing, for sure.
Absolutely, and we see like the likes of Ed Sheeran, was it the Fla last year?
Yeah, we were at the Fla with Ed Sheeran last year, which obviously is incredible to have trad music, which are Bjorka were flying the flag with Ed Sheeran for a long time. But just to see it getting that kind of a platform is outrageous. So he turned up at the Fla in Wexford. He has Wexford roots himself. So that was a homecoming for him of sorts. And I was there playing with him. So it was absolutely class, a really unique experience for sure.
And like you can see all the kind of young up and coming artists. Like I had Aaron Rowe on the show, I'd say about 2 months ago. But he was even saying he was singing the national anthem at the Ireland and Portugal game when they were playing in Dublin, and he was saying it's great to get young artists getting that kind of opportunity. It's great, isn't it?
It's incredible, and it's putting trad on a platform that we could have never imagined that it would go to this kind of levels. Do you know, I'm just back from a tour with Ed Sheeran and with a trad band to be...
It's mad to say even, isn't it?
Oh, crazy. Like, you could... Do you know, people are always saying to me, God, that's bucket list now, playing with Ed Sheeran. I'm saying, when, as a young fiddle player in County Waterford, would Ed Sheeran have been on your bucket list? Like, some... It's just made kind of possibilities that were unattainable before. You couldn't even dream of those things possible now. Do you know, to be touring around playing trad Irish music in arenas across Europe, it's incredible, the platform he has given trad. And the likes of Aaron Rowe, he was there in Wexford as well. I met him that day. And he's on tour with Ed Sheeran now. And
is he in Australia, I think?
He is. He's there now. And I believe Amble are doing part of his tour as well. And as I said, Bjorka are there the whole time. So it's unbelievable. But trad and Irish music and Irish culture is just really having a moment now anyway, isn't it?
And even the likes of Dan McCabe, like, he's
unbelievable.
He's massive as well.
Yeah, he really is. And do you know, it's fantastic. You've Amble, Kingfisher, Kneecap, they're all just pushing Irish music and, you know, making it relevant and making it reachable for people who maybe wouldn't have dipped into that kind of that part of our culture
before.
So yeah, the likes of those, and of course, I haven't even said the name of my band, Bird.
We're
all flying the flag for trad music.
How many of you in that?
There's 11 of us Bird. Yeah, so it's BIIRD, and the two I's are for the 11 of us. So there's 11 of us there, but about 7 or 8 of us travel from time to time. So I think 8 of them went to Australia. I was one of the 8 on the European tour. So but there's 11 of us in the collective as a whole, and we will be doing our Irish tour commencing in April. So it's going to be our second Irish tour, and there will be 11 of us for most of that. So you'll see the full uniform of us.
Very good, and we'll touch on in a couple of minutes your DINEC, but that's obviously going to be massive in Killarney alone.
Yes, so I'll be reaching out to all your listeners now today in Kerry to come out in force to our Killarney show in May. Yeah.
Did you enjoy school?
I did. I love school. Yeah. I'd be fairly outgoing and I like kind of mixing with people. So I did enjoy school. But I had seen on television around Christmas time, I had seen Celtic Woman and I had seen Riverdance, and I was growing up with those kind of things in my head. So for me, school and university was kind of get it done so that I can go off and do the things that I really wanted to do, which was travel the world, tour with shows. Eventually get into Riverdance. That was a dream that I had since I was very small that I thought mightn't be possible, and it actually was in the end, so it was amazing. But as I said, I enjoyed school, but I wasn't passionate about it like I am passionate about the things I do now. Yeah. You know.
And did you go to college? UCC?
I did. I went to UCC. I studied music, Irish and English there, and the plan was to be a secondary school teacher, which I went away after university. So I went away after my Leaving Cert, went away to America, got an opportunity to go. I was actually dancing at the time in Disney World in Orlando.
Oh, yeah?
So yeah, Mickey
really?
Mouse was my boss.
Boy. <laughs> So
the deal with my parents was, yeah, you can go if you defer the course for a year, come back, do college, and then do what you like after that. So I said, perfect, a deal is a deal. So I went away and I came back and went to UCC, and I really enjoyed my time in UCC. I was really immersed in the Trad Society there. I was head of the Trad Society for the last year, so putting on all sorts of events and the Trad Fest and everything. And the year I graduated, 2016, I'll give away my age now, 2016 I graduated, and that year Michael Flatley's Lord of the Dance was coming to the Marquee in Cork, and I hadn't even gotten my results from college yet, but I hoped I had passed. And that summer I did an audition on the stage in the Marquee just before the show, for the fiddle position in Lord of the Dance. That was a Saturday, and the Monday they rang me and told me I had the job. So I was just hoping that I had passed my exams, but I did. And graduated while I was already gone away on a European tour with Lord of the Dance. So I thought maybe if I go away for 4 or 5 years, do the dream, the thing I wanted to do, that I'll come back then and, you know, go back teaching. So kind of 5 years was what I had in mind, and that's over 10 years ago now. So, or it is 10 years ago now, 2016, 2026. So haven't looked back since.
When you went before college traveling, you said, was it America, you said?
I went to America, yeah, to Disney World.
What was, I suppose you were at a young age then, did you feel homesick or what was that like?
Yeah, I was 19 when I eventually went away, and like I have a very close family at home and from the countryside, hadn't really gone far before then. I had done the odd tour when I was in transition year.
Yeah.
So I had kind of gotten the bug for it. But I was just so excited, like it was the dream. There wasn't a bit of fear in me, but I couldn't understand when I had a little do for going away, why my mom was so upset that I was going. And do you know, my nanny, some of my grandparents were alive at that time, and I couldn't understand why they were so, I suppose, cautious or maybe worried about me. But now looking back, when I see 18 and 19 year olds now, I'm like, oh my God, to let go of someone away to America like that. It definitely was no mean feat. But I suppose when you're that age, you think you have it all figured out. Do you know what I mean? You think you're older than you are. It's looking back now, I'm thinking, my God, I was a baby. But you kind of, you gain more fear as you get older, as you know, do you? But when you're younger, you're just fearless. And I suppose it's a great thing, really.
Do you think that you had to, I suppose, when you went off down with the Michael Flatley tour, do you think that stint away in America kind of helped you when you went travelling on the tour with Michael Flatley?
Definitely, because when I think of the baby that I was when I was just 16 when I did my first tour, and I was the baby of the tour and really looked after, then I suppose my college experience living away from home for three years definitely lended itself to me going away. But I had kind of those professional experiences. I'd been away with shows like Celtic Legends here and there throughout my college degree on midterms and things. I was able to kind of go away. So I had a good amount of experience by the time I went to Lord of the Dance. But that then from there, I was full time with that. I was about 11 months of the year gone from time to time. So I definitely learned a lot. And yeah, I think I was prepared by the time I got there. I made sure I was prepared for it by then.
Oh, was he like Michael?
He was lovely. He wasn't around very often. Yeah. So, do you know, that show was a well-oiled machine without him. But for sure, when he would come around, everyone was in tip-top shape, making sure everything is in order. And there would definitely be a sense of pressure when he comes around, because, of course, the final say is on him.
The main man.
But yeah, so I did about 4 years with Lord of the Dance and then went on to Riverdance, which was the ultimate goal.
I suppose it's only when you went on tour, Nicole, did you realise how much is actually involved behind the scenes? Because obviously, like, we see the tour, the finished product, but then when you see behind the scenes, did you kind of appreciate it more then, like, there's a lot more to it?
Definitely, and it did, especially when I went to Riverdance, it definitely was every dream I had. Do you know what I mean? It definitely lived up to the dreams that I had. But just even from a personal perspective, the amount of work you'd put in to making sure that you're up to the standard of the show. You know what I mean? For Riverdance, even, like, it's a phenomenon. Do you know, it's famous globally and
worldwide.
And as a musician in particular in that show, you're playing Grammy award-winning music, so you better have it in order. Do you know what I mean? I suppose that's just a personal pressure that I would have put on myself. I'd be probably quite hard on myself in, I just want things to be right. You know, put your best foot forward. So I just, the preparation I put in before going to those shows, that by the time the show comes, everything kind of falls into place.
You know, you've put the work in.
That's it. Everyone has their own responsibility to be up to the mark, really.
And like, is there a lot of Irish on the tour Riverdance?
Lots of Irish, lots of English. Then you have the Tapper. You'd have a lot of American Irish dancers as well.
Loads
of them. And then the Tappers are usually American. You'd have the folk ensemble that are generally Eastern European. You have a flamenco dancer who's always Spanish. So it's definitely a mixed bag, for sure.
No, it is. It's the fiddle. It'll be your main instrument.
Fiddle is my instrument. Yeah. So I was a fiddle and a dancer for many years. But once I went away with Lord of the Dance on the fiddle, people kind of forgot that I danced so much, The fiddle became the main gig, which I'm perfectly happy with.
Do you think that was always the plan for the fiddle to be the main?
Definitely, because do you know, it was kind of tactical because I'm older now and I've surpassed in the career, I've surpassed where I would be now with dancing. Do you know, the body eventually will give up for you in to that level. So definitely it was tactical that I'm able to do as much now with the fiddle, and I can keep going at it for at least another 10 years, I'll say.
At least. It's great to see it was only a couple of weeks ago, the ONEC, the Irish dancing out there.
The All-Ireland one. Yeah,
and like you can see, it's going from adults all the way teens, even down to young children.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's great to see, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. There's no fear of the Irish dancing. Our culture is well and truly safe there. And I suppose for people to be able to, you know, what Riverdance puts on, the summer schools and everything, and for kids to have kind of a goal to reach is fantastic, because that's what I had as well. I had a goal in mind from a very young age, was to eventually be in the best show in the world, which is Riverdance.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have that goal. And
how long were you on tour with them?
So I had been in talks with them for about a year before I ever actually stepped on stage. The 25th anniversary was on its way, so I was being recruited for the 25th anniversary show, and that was about a year in progress. And I joined the show in February or March 2020, and sure, we all know what happened after that. I had about a year of work lined up with Riverdance, and COVID said no. So that was a very, very low time. I was listening to a couple of your podcasts, and I can't think who it was now, but there's someone on who was saying, you know, COVID was fantastic for her, and for some people it was totally different.
Yeah.
For me, it was the absolute worst time in my life. Everything, do you know, my life's work had been called a halt to for a period of time. And I think it was the unknown, you know, the uncertainty of when would we be back again, or do I give up on it? Do I go teaching? Do I stop? But I suppose I'd worked so long for that, to walk away from it would have been doing myself an injustice.
Yeah.
So I kind of stuck it out and waited and hoped. And eventually, I think it was in 2022, the World Expo was on in Dubai, and they had Riverdance out for a month. So I was actually out in Dubai for a month there. And I've done loads and loads with Riverdance since. But at that time, you're kind of thinking, is it ever going to happen for me again?
Yeah.
So it definitely was a real low time for me. But since then, I've actually been part of the 30th anniversary and everything.
Yeah.
So I've been in Riverdance for over 5 years now, and I'll actually be doing it again this summer in the Gaiety. I have a couple of dates in the calendar. I don't do it full time anymore because I'm doing a lot of my solo career now, and I have a lot of different projects going on.
It's a massive dedication. Like,
it is. Do you know, you kind of have to be all or nothing with it, which I just can't give anymore. So I have the best of both worlds now. I get to dip in and get my little Riverdance fix every year. They do the Gaiety in Dublin. So I'll be up there for a couple of dates this summer as well, so I'll be delighted to be back.
I was going to say that was, and you just kind of touched on it there. There was a time, I suppose, during COVID that you said, I've worked so hard to get up to now. I had a few Riverdance dates set, and then it all kind of is put on a halt and stopped. Was there a time, I suppose, mentally that you were like, is it even worth going back trying again?
I knew it would always be worth it
because
I loved it so much. I definitely knew it would be worth it. But I suppose you're thinking financially mentally, is it possible? Do you know, it was...
Entertainment sector was shut down.
It was gone. Yeah. Do you know, you were paying €9 and a plate of chips to get a pint.
Yeah.
So people certainly weren't paying for musicians.
Back, isn't
do you know? So it definitely was... It was a real struggle mentally. There were so many restrictions put in place. Then they'd be lifted. Then in a matter of weeks, they'd be back again. So you were kind of getting dangled with tours. Like, I was in conversation with Riverdance the entire time, for all of that time, which it was really hard because you'd be dangled a dream, you know, because they didn't know obviously what was going to happen either. And you'd be in talks for this upcoming tour. And sure, like, I remember one time I was going to Taiwan with Riverdance, and I had the bags packed and everything. Like, we had the visas, we had just everything in order. And I think a day or two before it was booked because of COVID. Yeah, they couldn't take the risk. So, do you know, that was mentally really hard, because you think you're back in business, and then it's pulled again. And it wasn't just business for me as well. It was a dream. Maybe if I had years of Riverdance under the belt before that, I'd be saying, look, I can close that chapter now. But I think it was the fact that I had just got a taste of it.
Yeah.
I'd worked so hard for it for so many years that I wanted to actually get my time in the show, which fortunately since I very much have, so I've had a ball.
We've seen a lot of artists on, be it musicians or singers during COVID, go online and kind of do gigs and upload videos and stuff. Do you think social media became a lot more popular in the kind of music industry during COVID?
Definitely. I think social media, obviously it has its downsides, but I think for the like of what I do, I think it's been absolutely fantastic. It just makes
publicity and everything, like it's
absolutely, it's free marketing. Yeah. I use my social media as a tool. You can reach people, or you can kind of present people with an idea before they even know that they want it.
Yeah.
And that is something that I've been doing a lot. I remember during COVID trying to kind of adapt, and I came up with just an idea of playing with the electric violin over chart music. And someone in the Plaza Hotel here in Killarney saw one of the videos and gave me a call, and suddenly that's what they wanted in Café du Parc, but they didn't know before that. But I put the idea onto the internet.
Presents them the
absolutely the idea. And that was 3 years ago, and they said, we'll have a certain amount of gigs for you a week. And I said, if you do, I'll move here. So packed my bags and off I came. And I've been here since. And God, the electric violin thing has just gone from strength to strength since. But I do think it's like that. Social media just allows you to reach people. And also it allows, you know, younger people to reach musicians that they couldn't before. I remember years ago when I was learning music, there was a bit of a shortage of fiddle teachers around where I lived. And God, my mum and dad and my granny would drive us the length and breadth of the country, whereas now you can do Zoom lessons and you can do all sorts, you know. So for that, COVID kind of made trad music and music in general lessons and reaching artists that you admire, it made that very accessible. So I genuinely think social media is a fantastic tool for music.
And obviously then there's always going to be that odd comment that you get, the negativity one, but it's important to everybody on social media. I see myself there, you get one negative comment and there
sticks
could be
with you, doesn't it?
There could be 20 good ones and you kind of focus on the bad one.
It sticks with you, and luckily I have a lot of support for people on social media, but the TikTok in particular, maybe you're too accessible to people that they just make a little jab here or there. But I just always power on.
Focus
I have
on
in the frame of mind, if you were happy yourself, you'd never make a comment like that. Like
you never
feel the need to make a comment like that on someone because you're happy.
It's more of a reflection on the person,
know,
isn't it?
That's all. And I just hope that they have a better day the next day, you know?
Way.
Yeah.
You mentioned your solo career there, obviously Killarney and the Plaza, and you've done a few bits in the race course before, I think, didn't you?
I play a lot of the race courses, actually. Yeah, this year now, I'll be out in Killarney at some point. I actually have an email that I must get back to for the Killarney races again. One of the race days is actually on the night after we do the INEC, so I actually won't be around for that. But I do a lot of the races there. I do the Carra, I have Fairy House on the books for this year again. So So I suppose what I do is really niche, and it's glamorous. I deliberately make the gig glamorous.
Yeah.
So that suits kind of the ladies' days at the races and stuff. And also seeing a girl out playing music and, you know, fronting bands and fronting a solo career is something you don't see very often. So it's definitely niche, and
you would see
really
a lot more males, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would for sure. Yeah. You know, you could go into any pub in any county in Ireland or any town in Ireland and you'll see a lad playing a guitar, singing the folk songs, which is fantastic as well. But it's just rare that you'd see a girl doing it, and maybe that it's so glamorous as well. So I love that, because that's also a huge part of my life, is like the fashion and the style and all that. So I definitely came up with a niche for myself, and as I said, it seems to be working. I'll be in all sorts of race courses this year, and I do a lot of corporate events and, you know, nice venues around Ireland. I'm up and down to Dublin a lot doing nice luxurious events and functions, so it's lovely.
You've obviously travelled some countries that you probably would never have gone to if it wasn't for music, have you?
Absolutely.
Is there anyone that stands out? Because I know I've talked to a lot of people that travel, and there's always one, whether it be somewhere like Vietnam or somewhere that they probably never would have got to if it wasn't for their job.
And there were countries that I had in my head that, my God, if I get to there, you know, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
And I did, you know, I've played on 5 continents across the world. So it's been
mad, isn't it?
It's insane. It's been fantastic. God, often people say to me, you've lived 40 lives. And it's because my 20s were so jam-packed that, you know, I look back and to even have a dip in that time, but to still have played in, I think, something like 49 countries across 5 continents, it's just
mental.
Incredible. But a standout for me was surely China. I was there 3 times. Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. They were some really, really incredible times in my career and in my life.
There must be like lots, that many countries is mental. Is there anywhere, I suppose, that you've gone and you kind of realise that there's Irish people all over the world? And it's probably only when you travel and see for yourself, like we always associate Irish people in America, but have you seen in other countries that you've gone to, has it surprised you how many Irish have been
definitely
there?
Definitely, it'd surprise you how small the world is, really. Yeah. I remember one time I was just after doing my sound check in Beijing, like Beijing, one of the most densely populated places in the whole world. And I was walking out to get a coffee, and I was walking up the street on my own in Beijing, and I just heard someone say, Nicole. And I turned around, and it was this girl that I knew from Galway, a fellow musician. And I was just baffled that I could run into someone from Galway in Beijing. But that'll tell you how small the world is. And as you said, there's just Irish everywhere, and we're really embraced everywhere we go. And it'll also tell you the impact that our culture has on different pockets of the world. Do you know that it's like Riverdance, for example, would sell out arenas all over the world. We did, you know, tens of thousands of people in Taiwan, China. Do you know, it's incredible the impact that our culture has, our music and our dancing has across the globe. It's something to be really, really proud of, which I am.
What's it like travelling with Bird? There's so many of you.
We have
it must
all
be some crack, though.
It's some crack.
Do you ever get on each other's nerves when there's so many?
We actually, touch wood now, we have actually said, no matter how hard the tours are, we just seem to get on well, which is just fantastic. But I think what's lending itself to that is the fact that we have been friends for a very long time. We've been friends long before Bird everything. Oh, yeah, yeah.
When did it come about, Nicole?
Bird is the brainchild of Lisa Canny. Lisa is the harp and banjo player from Mayo, and she's kind of the most recognisable person in the band. But it was her brainchild, and I remember, 8 years ago, I was in London for some time in one of my many lives, and Lisa was in London as well, and she called me and asked would I have a meeting with her, and she pitched the idea of this, you know, female powerhouse of a band that she wanted to call Bird. That was 8 years ago, but I know she had that in her mind many years before that as well. So it's well over 10 years in the making, and probably longer than that inside Lisa's brain. But she started kind of cornering us all, one or two of us, at different kind of house parties and different trad events over the years, and pitching the idea, and sure, we were all sold. And it would have kind of started sooner, but COVID obviously stopped that again. But timing is everything, and it happened now. It started really on the go in 2024. And as I said, timing is everything, because it seems to be perceived really well, and it has just gone up from there. And we did our debut Irish tour last year, which we had a ball on. And then we were asked to go down to Wexford for this pop-up performance, and that Ed Sheeran will be there. And we were kind of, well, I had in my head, I'll believe it when I see it now.
Yeah.
And on we rocked that day, and Ed Sheeran walked in. He actually wore some of our merch that day, which really, really put us on a platform. And he said that day he loved us, and, you know, he was saying, I'll be in touch. And once again, you're thinking, will he? But
it's the only saying that.
Himself and Lisa were on a video call on the following week, and he asked us to be his support act for his upcoming tours. And
the European tour, wasn't it?
Out to Europe we went. That was the first. We went just before.
How long was it?
We were about 10 days gone in total. So we went out to Europe. We went first to Paris. Then we came. Oh, we went to Germany then. We were in Munich, actually, at the Christmas markets. We were on at the same time, so it was actually class. So we had a nice wholesome time with the girls as well, you know, being able to kind of bond like that and go off. And, you know, as friends, we had grown up in the trad scene together, but to go off and experience this together was just so special. Like, we were having so many moments. We were kind of looking at each other going, is this real, you know? And we came back then. We did a few dates in the UK as well. And then the peak of it all was coming back to the Three Arena. And we did that just the week before Christmas. It was actually the night before my birthday as well. So I was saying, what a birthday present that was. And we did, of course, the surprise performance as well. We did our sports lap, but we did the surprise performance at the end where we all got up and played Fairy Tale in New York with Ed Sheeran, and you might have seen that on the internet.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
all over the place. So that was just so special. My parents and my boyfriend and all were there. So it was just, yeah, one of those moments that I look back on forever in
my
career.
Is there any other one that stands out to you that you've played with?
I suppose seeing the vastness of the crowd that Ed Sheeran provides. Which, yeah. You know, for us, you would trad music mightn't reach an audience like that, but the crowds that he pulls is just, I'm sure he's one of the biggest artists in the whole world. So for that, I think just looking out, like, I nearly have tears in my eyes thinking about it again. So they're all standout. But on a personal level, a lot of the solo performances that I do now are really special, because it's no joke to have a solo career yourself. You know, it's hard to keep going and to be so busy with it. So a lot
especially
of those,
like,
are,
you said, being a woman, there's not as many.
Yeah, so I am
solo.
Very proudly flying the flag for women. Do you know, I get a lot of messages from girls, young fiddle players and young musicians, not just fiddle players, asking, how do you do it? How did you get to be so busy? So, do you know, it is great to see that there's, people are maybe seeing that as, oh, there is opportunity for us, and strive for that, you know, and to have something to work towards is great. But I've done some really cool solo performances myself that I'm really proud of. Last year as well, we did the 30th anniversary of Riverdance, and I was the fiddle player invited back to do that performance. And they actually, it was a private performance filled with all of the musicians and dancers who had ever been in Riverdance over the years.
All go away.
So there was over 700 past members of Riverdance in the audience. And again, to come out and see fiddle players that I looked up to over the years sitting in front of me, like Zoe Conway was there. Do you know, like, fiddle players that I watched, it was no joke now, going out playing the show for them. And a lot of the musicians and dancers were actually invited on stage as kind of surprise elements of the show. So I was playing for one of the fiddle solos. I was playing with a Bowron player called Ray Fien, who's also, he was the drummer for the Horselips, and he was one of the original percussionists for Riverdance. And sure, I knew exactly who he was. And, you know, as I said, grew up watching him play in Riverdance, and then for him to come out and play with me like that was just
massive.
Spectacular for me. Really, really special.
Do you feel
really
a sense of pressure?
Of course.
It must.
Of course. But like I said earlier, you're prepared for these things. You just have to make sure you're prepared for these things and just go out and enjoy it, which I very much did.
I don't know, was I reading, did you do something on St. Patrick's Day 1 year?
They did Trafalgar Square.
Trafalgar Square, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the debut performance of Bird. So that was the first time Bird took flight, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
So that was Trafalgar Square on St. Patrick's Day. And then it kind of took off from there. Do you know, it had debuted at that point. And then we came home to Ireland, of course, after that. And the ball was rolling. And like I said, we did our debut Irish tour last year. And it just kind of went from strength to strength from there. Like, we've had so many amazing opportunities and incredible ones still to come. Like I said, we've our second Irish tour coming up now this spring, so we're excited for that as well.
Was it always the electric or the kind of regular fiddle?
No, it was trad fiddle. Trad. I grew up doing, yeah. I never touched an electric violin until, as I said, the residency here in Killarney approached me.
So what kind of came about, was it?
Yeah, so they called looking for something, a niche kind of, something different inside in Cavendish Park, and they called me. So I was there for a little while with the trad fiddle, playing chart music with all sorts of cables and things hanging off me. And I was thinking, how can I make this better? Do you know, that's kind of how you have to keep going in this industry, is to be always thinking,
kind of try and be different, something that's
something
not
niche, and always be thinking ahead. Do you know, I'm doing what I'm doing today, but I have like 10 projects in mind for the next couple of years that will keep it going, and that's the only
which
way.
Which is important as well.
You just have to keep evolving and adapting, and that's what I did in Café du Parc. I was thinking, how can I make this nicer? You know, I was seeing the clientele that was coming in. Do you know, it's generally couples or women out for their cocktails, hen parties, we get a lot in there, glamorous kind of things. So I was thinking, how can I make this even nicer? Because what I want for all of my gigs, my solo gigs, is that you feel like you're somewhere special and you're being entertained with something really special. And I suppose a good way to do that is to have an LED 5-string electric violin that lights up.
You
know, that should do it.
Yeah.
So once I did that, it just went from strength to strength. And I play with all sorts of DJs and things like that. And I was approached then by Dec Fiercy's, a fellow radio man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From Today FM. Yeah. He has his show, Block, Rock and Beats.
Yeah.
And he asked, would I be the violinist in his band? So
they came to the INEC, did they?
Twice I've done the INEC with Dec Fiercy. We did it just before Christmas there around, just after Christmas. It was around the 28th, 29th. Sold out INEC. So that's amazing. And I've done some of the most unbelievable stages as well with Dec. We do all the big festivals, Electric Picnic All Together Now, all those huge ones. So yeah, that's one of my favourite gigs, and some of my favourite crew as well. Dec is just an absolute gent. We did the Olympia last year just at Christmas time, and it hasn't been an easy road for Dec either. He's just recovering from cancer. So I suppose as a tight-knit band, and you know, we all have a really strong friendship as well.
It's important in times like that, isn't it?
It is, and it was a special one for us because that was the first one where Dec had publicly announced that he had cancer,
really?
And that he was in his recovery, and you know, we knew what he had been through, and to be there by his side doing a sold out really iconic venue in Ireland again in the Olympia, it was really special. So I'm very lucky. I get some really special moments and I meet some really, really special people throughout my career, so it's fantastic.
It's not a bad place to live either, Killarney, sure it's not.
It's a great place to live, actually, believe it or not. In one of my past lives I actually lived here again. I did a show just one summer during college. I did a show out in the INEC and I lived over in Woodlawn Avenue, so it's actually my second time living here, but it's a great spot to live. I'm in no rush out of it. That's, you'll have to drag me kicking and screaming out of Killarney.
I think people living here take it for granted, like we've the National Park on our doorstep, and only when you see people visit you kind of realise how big it is.
It's unbelievable, and God, you've so much to be proud of in Killarney as well. Sure, even Jessie Buckley, and
she's flying.
Flying it, and I believe there was a producer on from Killarney, a producer on an album that won a Grammy this year as well. So God, for a small, I suppose, town, you've so much to be proud of, and we won't even get into sport because I won't do it justice. But there's so much going on in Killarney, and it's been just a haven for me. For what I do, you know, there's so much. I'm always saying it, as long as the mountains and the lakes are here, the tourists will stay coming, and I'll surely stay in business, touch wood. So
exactly.
It's just brilliant for arts and for sharing our culture here with the amount of tourism that comes to Killarney.
Could you do, and like we said, the INEC people coming to dancing there recently, could you do a couple of solo gigs a day?
On the weekends, yeah. So yeah. I do, luckily I'm kind of 6 or 7 days a week now working. In the summer God, I could be doing up to 12 gigs a week, which is
really crazy.
But even
it's
now,
a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot, yeah. And it's probably not sustainable forever, but it's a lot. But at the minute, this will be considered, you know, a downtime for music, and still I could be 5 or 6 days a week working, which is brilliant because the corporates are always on weekdays. You know, I'd be playing for big corporations for whatever events they have on, you know, the likes of Google and Deloitte and big events like that for big companies. So I go to Dublin for those. And then on the weekends, on a Saturday, I could have 3 or 4 gigs in the one day. So I would do brunches in the afternoon. Then I might do a drinks reception somewhere if there's an event on. And then in the evening I do an evening gig, and then I generally would travel to Cork. I have residencies in a place called 77 on Grand Parade in Cork as well, so I'd be there too, and then I'd be back to Killarney again. I'd do another gig on a Sunday afternoon, and then Monday would usually be a rest day and
wind down. Do you like the outdoor gigs, like down at the racecourse in Killarney?
Oh, I love them if the weather's right for them. I remember last year I was all glam now and I had a lovely hat on for Ladies' Day, but sure, the wind was just nearly blowing me over, not to mention the hat, so the hat didn't last long. But I do love it, sure, it's lovely. It's a real bonus when you get to be outside, but sure, you just can't guarantee it, so you kind of take it as it comes.
Absolutely. Before we finish up, we'll just touch on coming back to the INEC now, your tour coming up with Bird. Do you want to let the listeners know about that?
Yes, so we are doing a tour of Ireland again. Last year we were in Cork, and this year we've no Cork, we're in Killarney this year. So I'm thrilled. As soon as I heard there was going to be Killarney, I was delighted. So we are doing an INEC on, what did I say, the 8th of May?
8th of May, you said.
The 8th of May, which I believe is a Friday. Now, I don't know what day today is, let alone know what day the 8th of May is, but I believe it's a Friday, and tickets are on sale now. So if you want to come out and have a lot of fun with all of us, please do. It's on the 8th of May in, as I said, in the INEC, the iconic INEC.
Brilliant. And social media, where can people?
You can find me. My full name is Nicole Lonergan _ on Instagram and TikTok. And definitely follow me along there. Thank you very much.
Definitely. Nicole, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was great to chat to you.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we've time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I really appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to Nicole for coming on tonight and chatting to me about her career and what music means to her. And I really enjoyed my chat with Nicole and seeing everything that she's achieved so far, and talking to her about coming off the back of the European Arena Tour with Ed Sheeran. It's not everybody can say that they've played with Ed Sheeran at the FLAC Yole and then as well doing a tour around Europe. It's really unique, so all the best to Nicole in the future and to all her bandmates and everyone involved with what she does. If you have any suggestions, questions or requests before next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or you can send me an email to my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope we're all having a great week so far. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next week from 8 to 9pm. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
You're listening to Standout with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8pm here on Radio Kerry.